folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart. Happy to be here with you another week. This week's special, folks, because it's my birthday week. So I'm in my super comfy clothes with a giant cup of coffee, handing out celebratory Taronis and airplane bottles of beverages to whoever wants to join me this evening. Kick off your shoes, get comfy, grab a blankie, get a snack and a drink. Make sure to leave room in the top of that drink for a shot, or share a sip of wine with me, because I don't drink very often, folks, but you know what? I deserve it. And I'm sure you do, too, after the week that we've had, huh? But first, let me go outside and check the mail, because I'm anxiously awaiting one of my birthday gifts, which is the first annual WKRP in Cincinnati Thanksgiving Turkey Drop Long Sleeve T-shirt. I chose that as a gift because I thought it would be cool to wear on Thanksgiving. And the best thing is, everybody that'll be sitting around my table this year will absolutely get the reference. As we eat lots of good food, enjoy fun times, maybe play some cards, and listen to Alice's Restaurant. So that's the question of the week. What are your plans for Thanksgiving, and who are you spending it with, and are you going to be watching football or just hanging around the table, eating and counting your blessings? I'm very blessed this year because I've actually already celebrated one Thanksgiving a little earlier than usual due to my crazy weird schedule, but it was a special day nonetheless. I'm extremely blessed, grateful, and thankful that I get to do it twice this year because Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. It's not about commercialism. It's about time spent with people that you care about. And with the state of the world, I celebrate each and every opportunity that I have to do so with almost the same fervor. Because you just never know how many more holidays or how much time spent with loved ones we'll actually have like the holidays that we've been used to. That's why I think it's important to try and make every day special and at least do one kind thing for someone a day or be the best person that you can every day. We all have bad days. We all have off days. Sometimes we don't feel well. But if we make the most of every day and make every day special, every day becomes like a holiday. And let's be honest, food plays a big role in all of that. We're such a food-based culture that most of our times with family and friends is spent around food-related things. You know, holiday meals, going to lunch with your friends, going to dinner with your friends, your family or significant others if you have one, with your children. And with the economy being the way it is, a lot of people have had to cut back on certain things. I mean, I remember the days when I was a kid, we had the Feast of the Seven Fishes. There was so much food on the tables, they were literally looking like they were going to break. Antipasto that could go on for days. A good steak was a once or twice a week meal for us. It wasn't a special occasion thing. But now people are breaking the bank just to put a couple of burgers on the table. It's insane. Cube steaks almost become a luxury piece of beef, at least as far as price point is concerned. If I was going to fill my table with the food that we grew up with on a typical holiday meal, it would conservatively cost, I'm thinking, between $300 and $500 to feed everybody the way that we used to eat. Depending on how many people were seated, by the time you figure in the meat, the seafood, the antipasto, we used to make something called Italian cold cut pie that was literally a pie made out of cold cuts. That thing alone would cost probably $50-$75 to make, not to even delve into the desserts and the wines. We used to have lobster races across the floor for the lobsters we were going to cook. Seven fishes, seven different types of fishes, and the pastas and the meat. But as it turns out, as you'll find out later in the episode, and I only played one clip about this, there were several about people on EBT that have been regularly buying lobster tails and shrimp and scallops and crab legs, when for us working class folks, it's a luxury to have it on the holidays anymore. And we're certainly not buying it at the volume we used to in pounds. But thankfully, or unthankfully, I've developed a seafood allergy for shellfish later in life, so that's one less expense I have to worry about, at least. But even those that deserve to be on benefits, they're getting penalized now because they've been cut off. Because a federal court order was issued to restore the full SNAP benefits for November, but a temporary Supreme Court stay was in place, causing some confusion. And in New York, I know the state has already begun the process of issuing full benefits, rates, with some households potentially receiving them soon, but the full implementation is subject to the ongoing legal challenges and the temporary pause by the Supreme Court. The court order was a federal judge ordered the Trump administration to issue full November SNAP payments, and the Supreme Court temporarily blocked the lower court's order, but this is not the final decision on the case, and places like New York have started to issue full benefits in response to the court order, but they're saying the exact timing can vary. So, yeah, some people are getting them, I guess others not yet. And then some recipients may have access to their full benefits as early as this weekend, it says, but this depends on the state's processing time and the resolution of the legal challenge. That's according to Google. I absolutely feel sorry for the families that really need it, legitimately need it. But as we'll talk about later, they're finding a lot of corruption going on and a lot of misuse of the benefits. People are using these benefits to purchase luxuries and luxury items that you and I may not be able to afford, even working sometimes two and three jobs. And that's been a bone of contention for quite some time, but apparently finally light is getting shed on that, and hopefully they're making some changes. I know that there are some rules now where you can't buy junk food with your EBT, but last week and this week I've seen at least 15 videos of people dancing around bragging about how they bought 15 Little Caesars pizzas, and one girl was buying all seafood and crab legs, and one other lady was at a restaurant and she was eating crab legs and shrimp and lobster. And I'm like, seriously? When I first got divorced and I didn't have a job at first and I had a baby to support and my ex had blown all my money, I had things like grilled cheese and tomato soup and pasta with plain meatballs and homemade gravy, not the veal meatballs half and half and the pork chop in the sauce and the chicken in the gravy. I worked pretty much nonstop on like 2.5-3 hours sleep, and my bills got paid and my kid got fed, and I didn't do it through the use of the welfare system. I cut back and sacrificed for myself so that I could take care of my family. That was my responsibility first. I ate a lot of yogurt and as nutritiously as I could, but it was always on a budget because diapers and formula and childcare and household bills were expensive. And if I were on the system, I certainly wouldn't have been taking advantage of it by buying high-cost luxury meals or eating out. Back then, the people that had to take benefits were sort of embarrassed to have to do so, and aside that, they sure didn't milk the system, at least not anybody that I knew of. They just did what they had to do to get by and take care of their families too. And that's what it was set up for. I just worked almost round the clock. I worked every major holiday for years except for Thanksgiving, because my night job, that was the only holiday they were closed, was Thanksgiving. So as soon as the EBT system went down, the internet lit up. People were talking about hitting grocery stores if it didn't come back on and robbing people's homes. When I was a kid, if some members of my family had less or were struggling, other family members pitched in and chipped in. I can't tell you how many times my pop bought groceries for my cousins and close friends of the family that we called family. When they were struggling, we helped each other out too. That's non-existent anymore, it seems like. Everybody's out for themselves. I saw a video of a guy who said, if my benefits don't hit by Friday, I'm raiding Whole Foods. Whole Foods. I didn't even know crime came with brand loyalty now. Excuse me, before I loot, are these almonds organic? Like, seriously? You ever notice how every time something goes wrong, particularly in a city, people immediately start saying, well, we'll just take what we need? Yeah, because apparently the new definition of sharing economy is you shop and I steal. And at least in New York, it's about to get a whole lot tougher and worse, because with Mondami in office, and we'll talk about that for a good portion of the show tonight, the city's response to all that chaos is to cut the police budget, because apparently when crime rises, the best solution is fewer cops and more slogans. Justice through optimism. Yeah, tell that to the little old lady clutching her purse on the subway. And New Yorkers are starting to book one-way flights to Florida like it's the last lifeboat off of the Titanic. Forget Broadway, I'm going to Boca. And the folks down south are saying, hold up, you can come here, but don't bring your voting habits or your bad demeanors, because every time people flee from these crumbling cities, they pack the same mindset that made them crumble. It's like leaving your burning apartment and bringing the matches. I can see realtors in Miami saying, sure, we've got beachfront property, but first, what do you think about taxes? That's the new background check, not your credit score, your ideology. Southerners are already posting videos, I'll play another one for you later, where they're warning New Yorkers, you're welcome here, we're Southern and we're open and welcoming, but don't bring any of your attitude down here because we're not having it. Everybody knows crime's about to get worse, especially in New York City, but nobody wants to admit it out loud. The mayor's out there saying things like, we need to focus on compassion. Compassion's great, but compassion doesn't stop a mugging, pepper spray does. You know, he doesn't agree with the prison system either. So people are going to be told to what? Understand the root causes of theft? Yeah, the root cause is that you removed consequences. That's not sociology, it's math. And I get that life is tough right now. Inflation's insane, rent's a joke, groceries feel like a ransom note, but maybe, just maybe, the solution isn't to legalize chaos. For right now, anyway, the city seems to become some kind of social experiment that nobody consented to. You walk down the street and it's kind of like, do I get mugged or do I get recruited for a protest? Spin the wheel, Vanna. You don't have to be a genius to see where this is going. Less law enforcement, more desperation, and leadership that makes hashtags and thinks that that can stop homicides. The city that used to be the place that never sleeps is now the place that never stops calling 911. And when the dust settles, who gets blamed? The people who point it out. You say, hey, maybe cutting the police while crime spikes isn't great policy, and suddenly you're the problem. And God forbid you try to help that little old lady on the subway, because chances are in New York, you might get sued. And deep down, everybody feels it. The anxiety, the instability, the sense that the system's running on fumes. And when a city runs out of accountability, it runs out of everything else right after. And now the guy that's running the show that these crackpot liberals voted for, as well as potentially he got into office by way of some nefarious voting practices, and we'll talk about that later as well in some clippies. Remember how he wasn't going to ask for any more money? Yeah, he did so. First day on the job. Crime's climbing, cops are leaving, and City Hall's talking about reimagining safety. Sure, because nothing says safe like taking away the one group trained to stop people from robbing grocery stores when their debit cards glitch. The tension is almost palpable. People are nervous, stores are boarding up early, everybody's watching each other in line like it's the last box of cereal on earth. This isn't community. It's a social experiment being run by people who think hashtags count as leadership. And what are the folks with means doing? They're booking it off to Florida. But they might want to give that some thought, because it's very possible that all of this was done so that they did leave. Because if New Yorkers leave New York and it's not New York anymore, that leaves a whole lot more room for a lot more illegal immigrants and a lot more Muslim policy. At least some good news this week, Nancy Pelosi finally decided to retire and quote unquote pass on the torch. Are you kidding me, lady? The torch that you're passing on is almost as old as Lady Liberty's. She's ready to let a new generation lead. I hope she's not training them. We've seen how that movie ends. At this point, people aren't even mad anymore. They're exhausted. They just look at the screen like, you know what? Let it all reboot. Maybe we need a system update. Because that's what this feels like. An old operating system running new problems. Glitchy, slow, constantly demanding you install more updates while draining your wallet in the background. And somehow, after every failure, they end up with the same speech. We hear you. We care. We're learning. Well, cool. Learn faster, because my groceries are locked behind glass. Did you see the video where they're actually locking up honey buns now? Seriously? Deodorant? Behind glass? The city's wild over Mondami's election. DC is ancient and everybody else is just trying to hang on till payday. But hey, at least the comedy's free. Keep your pantry stocked, because apparently stability is now a luxury item. So let's get into this evening's clippies. We're gonna start it off with Mondami. Did you hear they actually made a rally cry song for this guy? It's a takeoff on Holla Back Girl by Gwen Stefani, which I'm also gonna play a clip of. You do now. The name is Mondami.
So Donald Trump, since I know you're watching, I have four words for you. Turn the volume up.
You're a funny guy.
We will hold bad landlords to account, because the Donald Trumps of our city have grown far too comfortable taking advantage of their tenants.
What kind of idiots do you have working here?
The finest in New York.
That news clip was from News Focus Official. The next two are from I Am Tazak and Save New York City 2025.
headline would read in about a year. Mamdani continues to take on Trump, take on Trump, take on Trump, take on Trump, take on Trump.
It's funny, you're a funny guy.
You mean the way I talk? What?
It's just funny. It's funny, the way you tell the story and everything.
What is Shirley
Law? I come from a political tradition Donald Trump describes as the enemy within. We came here to remake this state in the image of our people.
So the reporter, that was kind of hard to hear, was trying to get him to denounce Sharia law, and he would not do it. The next one, where he's talking about how he doesn't like prisons, is from Save New York City 2025, but the original interview they don't give credit for. I think it's Patrick Bet-David.
Are prisons obsolete?
Oof, coming through with the quotes, coming through with the titles of the books. I have to read that, actually. I haven't read that as yet. But I think that, frankly, I mean, what purpose do they serve?
Right.
I think we have to ask ourselves that, which is that, you know, I think a lot of people who defend the carceral state, they defend the idea of it and the way it makes them feel.
Not the guy that committed a crime, right? Not the guy that killed anybody. No. Forget about how he feels. Not the mother that lost the son because somebody killed him, because the murderer killed the son. Not the mother. Not because how she feels. What's his argument? Is he making an argument that you don't need a prison because there isn't crime and we don't have criminals and just let everybody be in the streets? And how old is he in this, video when he's saying this? Is this a 5-year-old video? He doesn't look like he's 18. That mustache looks like a 30-year-old's mustache beard. So let's say he's 28 in here, because he's 33 right now. To have an opinion at 28 years old of something like that, your brain's been fully developed at this point. You can't use the Paulo Coelho, you know, I'm 23 years old, I was still developing my ideas. I don't know. Yeah. Go live in a city with a million people living in it with no prisons. Do it, Mamdani. Let's see what happens. Maybe he's going to take turn New York City into that. Who knows?
The next two, from Dominique Galbraith and Brecca Stoll, are opinions of New Yorkers before the election on who they wanted to see as mayor.
You know what really blows my mind? New York is seriously choosing between a guy who founded the Guardian Angels and kept New York safe when the police were too afraid to do it, or the trust fund kid cosplaying as a politician because his mama told him to go get a job when all he really wanted to do was be a rapper in a falafel cart. Are we serious, New York? How is this even a choice? If people actually knew half of what Curtis Sliwa has done, he'd already be mayor. This is the same man who rode the subway when it was dangerous to protect strangers. He built an entire volunteer force to clean up the streets. He got no paycheck, no press team. He helped thousands of struggling New Yorkers, fed the poor, rescued hundreds of cats from kill shelter, and turned his own home into a sanctuary. Meanwhile, if the man dummy didn't have a social media marketing team propping him up, he'd probably be hitting the open mic nights, still hoping for a paid gig. Curtis Sliwa isn't just running for office. He's been serving the city his entire life. If you want leadership that actually bleeds New York, that's your guy.
You don't get as New York as Curtis Sliwa. You see, there's two reasons why a lot of New Yorkers don't actually know who Curtis Sliwa is. There was a season in my life where I watched local news every day. Whenever there was an election, they gave 90% of news coverage to the Democrat candidate and barely mentioned the Republican candidate. You see, if these media outlets And all of these people who are talking about no kings and having freedom, if this is about freedom and people having the freedom to choose, then shouldn't we know without bias who our options are? You see, the media outlets are biased and controlled by the Democrat Party. But on the other hand, it is the responsibility of every voter to inform yourself who the candidates are and what they truly represent. Life is lifing for New Yorkers. Many people aren't taking the time to really assess what our options are, who's running, and what they represent. They're just going with what the media tells them. For those that are being weighed down with the cost of living in New York, of course, the person that is promising them free this, rent freezes, that's going to sound like music to their ears. But you see, we're going to be making a huge mistake. We don't understand that it's socialist policies that got us here in the first place. So voting for Mamdani is voting for more of the same and then some. So if you're concerned about the cost of living now, just wait till he takes office. New York City, don't do it. Now, Cuomo may not be as extreme as Mamdani, but he in the same boat. I'm voting for Sliwa. I encourage you to do the same.
The polls say there's an 89% chance that Mamdani wins tomorrow. We talked to some New Yorkers who hope that's not the case.
Socialism in practice here in America hasn't been the greatest.
Yeah. So what do you think about Zohran Mamdani?
I don't think of him at all.
You don't think of him at all? Yes.
I think defunding the police is ridiculous.
Now, I'll f*** with Sliwa on some, like, old school New York
He said he might defund the police.
Well, that's why I don't think of men like that.
But I think the police do a wonderful job. They put themselves on the line all the time.
When he asked that question in the political debate, like, you ever smoke weed? Sliwa was like, of course, it was after I shot 5 times, you know what I mean? For what? Being a vigilante in the streets. It's like, f*** Batman.
The next two are again from Brekka Stoll. The first one is New York City small business owners talking about their feelings about Mamdani. And the following clip is when his supporters are asked why they support him. And they can't come up with an intelligent answer.
Did he win, by the way?
He won.
They chose a knucklehead, so we're going to pay for it.
What happens if he opens up the government-run grocery stores?
I'm not with it.
Oh, you don't like the government-run grocery stores?
No.
$30 minimum wage. Can you explain how that might affect businesses?
What the hell? This will be over.
How are they going to make payroll?
It's just about all the policy that he's trying to do, increasing the workers and the taxes. Mm-hmm. It's not good.
The minimum wage doesn't help the worker. It just helps the system. Pay more money, more taxes, prices go up.
Overnight, half of them would go out of business.
Well, I'm in a blue state, I'm sorry, but I've been red my whole life. Democrats have always ruined, steal, rob, and lie.
Any thoughts on having him for 4 years?
What I can do is just swallow and try to face it, but it's not easy.
We're cooked. We're on the way to becoming a communist state.
The city's in trouble. They're in trouble.
Good luck.
Do you support Zohran?
Yeah, he seems cool.
What makes him ready to be New York's mayor?
He sounds like he's like a Power Rangers character, so.
I mean, is anybody really ever ready to be mayor? What makes Mamdani qualify to be mayor?
I don't think at this point it's necessarily a question of who's qualified.
Obama had very little experience and Obama did very well.
He's just a really likable guy.
What makes him ready to be mayor?
I don't know. Why is he ready? I feel like he's like answering.
It never really takes like the most experience.
I don't know what it takes to be a mayor, so how can I really say if somebody else is qualified?
Yeah, Spanish.
Mamdani?
Yeah.
He's been a rapper. He's about to run a $115 million budget tomorrow.
This is bananas. E-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Next up by Dylan James Official, women with baseball hats in a bar cheering and screaming for Sharia law and Mamdani.
Sharia law starts now.
What Sharia law would mean for you? No more women's rights, yippee! Like what? You're cheering for your own demise.
Next up for some comedic relief, because we need it about now, the piece from Allison Sanitova and KibiNet.
Your sisters, look who got elected,
Anthony, guess who was elected? Houdini. We're moving to Florida. Pack your sh.
You know you better pick up that phone when I got tea. Listen, New York City, you did it. You elected Mom Donnie to be your new mayor. Well, did you know that he was backed by Alex Soros, son of billionaire George Soros, and both of them are millionaires, like father, like son. But anyway, that's just a little tidbit of information. Listen, I am almost excited to watch your mouth drop when you realize that the same hand that feeds you is the same hand that will starve you when they want dominance and control. Kind of like the shutdown of the government when they admitted they used you as leverage. Anyway, listen, Mom Donnie last night after he won, he said, I speak of Yemeni bodega owners and Mexican abuelas, Senegalese taxi drivers and Uzbek nurses, Trinidadian line cooks and Ethiopian aunties. Yes, I said aunties. I was looking for when he said Americans, but I can't find it. But anyway, I want to give you the rules because, you know, you're going to be moving down south after you find out that socialism is going to fail like it has for centuries. So let me give you the rules about down here. Number one, respect. Southerners really like the Second Amendment, okay? Don't come down here rude and disrespectful, because not only do we like the Second Amendment, but we also talk with our hands. And I don't mean sign language. Okay, number two, don't come down here yelling out where you're from like that's going to scare somebody. You know, I'm from Queens. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from Bronx. We don't care nothing about that, baby. You start yelling out where you're from, we finna show your ass where you at. All right? Number three, aggressiveness is not necessary here. We really cool, we laid back people, so we take that as disrespect. We Southerners do. And we don't ask questions, all right? When you get all aggressive, we not finna ask you no questions. We just gonna do what we need to do. The only people that ask questions down here are cops and coroners, all right? So understand that. Last but not least, the South is the home and the origin of YNs and rednecks. And don't you think for one minute that they won't hesitate to unite like Voltron and get your ass up out of here. Also, honorable mention, people like me, my age and stuff, both sets of those, the YNs and the rednecks, they consider us auntie. So you don't want to disrespect us either, because they don't play about us. All right, those are the quick rules. That's the quick rundown, because once you are out of food, water, and shelter up there, you're going to have to find somewhere to get it. So you can come down here, but just remember them rules, all right? All right, I'll talk to y'all later. I love y'all. God bless you. God bless America. God bless Donald John Quavius Trump. Doing an awesome job. I'll talk to y'all later. Call you back. Bye. Love you.
The next two from Libs Beam Central. On day one, he's already increasing taxes and asking for money.
Have to raise taxes on the top 1% of New Yorkers who make more than $1 million a year, and you do that by raising taxes on by them 2%, and then you also increase the corporate tax of New York State to match that of New Jersey, so that takes us from about 7.25 to about 11.5%, which is what we see in New Jersey.
Oh, and one more thing. Remember how I told you a few months ago to stop sending us money? You can start again. This transition requires staff, research, and an infrastructure that can meet this moment. And it will be made possible by the people who built and believe in this movement. So I hope you'll make a donation at transition2025.com. Now let's get to work. Oh.
You guys know this show's for entertainment purposes only, right? Because Nick's Right Podcast has a clippy about possible election fraud.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
We're working for government.
I want to understand why these are just sitting on the street, how you tuck them into a taxi, and you guys could just fill out anything you want and put them in the box. Is this a normal election? This is how elections are run? This is a complete fraud.
Why don't you go and speak to the people inside? They'll be happy to take care of you. We are working here.
I'm on public property. I can film whatever I want. And you guys are walking around with ballot boxes and a taxi?
You know, I was wondering how Mam Donnie won so easily. These are people who work for the voting booths or the voting whatever. They work for the government. And they are bringing in sacks of filled out ballots. And that's how they do it. And we're going to just sit here and watch it. Like, it's getting to be annoying enough to where, why can't we talk about this and why can't we put a light on this? I just don't understand why we don't do something about this. Like, this happened in whenever Biden got voted into office, and we had proof, like we have proof here. This is undeniable proof. I don't understand. We can do something about this.
The next two clips, the first one is by Chris Rivera blog, No Voter ID in New York, and the second one from Red State Clips has a guy with a hidden camera and microphone asking about voter ID at the polling station.
So nobody's surprised they didn't do voter ID in New York. So a lot of people probably voted multiple times, and voila, you have Mamdani.
Here in New York, about to illegally vote for Zohran Mamdani six times. Yeah, six.
You do understand they'll throw you off the Empire State Building six times, right?
Yeah, six.
So now you have a bunch of people doing that. What do you think the outcome's gonna be?
So you don't want my ID? How do you know it's me then?
We can look it up by menu.
I could just give you a fake name.
We can give you up by menu.
Signature. We check signatures.
Yeah.
We're not supposed
to give you ID.
Unless if you don't check ID, how are you going to know this signature?
Manual entry.
No worries. We have the signature on file. Show him what he saw. What he saw.
Can you show first three letters of your last name?
You got it, right?
First three letters of your last name?
No. I give you my ID. Why don't you
know,
use it?
This first three letters of your last name, sir.
You guys making this difficult?
We're not making it difficult at all.
Is he giving you his ID to look at?
I gave it to him.
We're not supposed to ask.
But I'm giving it to you so that it's easy for you to...
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Because I could be somebody who's just pretending to be somebody.
You're absolutely right.
I don't think you want me to pretend.
We're not supposed to ask. We're not supposed to ask for identity.
How do you know it's the right person?
We have a signature on file.
I get it, but if I'm giving you my ID, it's just so that you can verify for sure it's me.
I found him by his date of birth.
Who? Oh, you found him?
Yeah, by his date of birth.
If I was on that table, I'm here now with this gentleman.
Start over. Go to manual entry. Put in his birthday. That's how I found him.
Put in his date of birth.
Just trying to make it easy for you guys.
Understand. But we were told.
I don't care what you were told. I'm making it easy for you guys.
Yes.
But I'm giving you guys my
ID.
So
put it in front of my face, I'm gonna.
I'm not gonna do that. I'm telling you, do you need my ID? Here's my ID. Take it, use it. That's what it's for. Identification. To identify who I am, if I'm the right person or not.
Oh no, wait. I'm sorry.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
The next clippy from Save New York City Again 2025, Takiya is working.
Big Mom Donnie is practicing Takiya.
1,000%. 1,000%.
He's presenting
the Muslims are laughing at you guys. Like, this is the funniest thing. Like, dude, give it 50 more years, entire New York is going to be Muslim. And then before you know it, there's going to be Sharia courts. And then, like, y'all are... It's like shooting yourself in the foot. Like, I can't even believe. And, like, you see Europe. You look at Europe, it's happening right now. And then you're like, oh, let's just do it here in New York. Like, it's like, no. Like, you have to stop. Like, obviously, Takiya is working. And they're doing an amazing job at it. And they're fooling everyone. Like, and all the Muslims are, like, so happy that's happening. Like, this is the best thing that could happen in Islam. And he's going to win. Because we're too stupid. Like, no matter how many times ex-Muslims will say Takiya is a real thing, they are lying to you. They will take over within 100 years. No one's going to listen. Because we just assume that our God is the same as their God. We just assume that their God will tell them not to lie. But their God tells them to lie. That's the difference.
To give before the conquest. And they strive in the sake of Allah. And they fight in the sake of Allah. Allah says that in the Quran. They're higher level. But the point is that victory is coming, guys. And so... this is your chance to be part of the conquest, of the victory. This is the real thing here. Jahidul Mushrikeena, the hadith says. The Hadith says, "Jahidul Mushrikeena bi anfusikum wa amwalikum wa alsinatikum." That strive against the mushriks with yourself and your monies and your tongues.
From Sammy A. Hood, a guy is asking Muslim women about Islam and showing them up.
Should we be stoning the gays?
Well,
should we be killing and taxing the non-believers?
It's not. Okay. So
I'm asking you.
There's laws to it. Islam literally translates to peace. It's a religion of peace.
Islam does not translate to peace.
It does.
How's it going? Oh, thanks. Hi, what's up?
Hello. What's up? We're the Muslim Student Association.
Cool. Do we all speak Arabic here?
She speaks Arabic, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are we trying to encourage here today?
We're just spreading Islam and, you know, trying to just get destigmatized, you know, like misconceptions around Muslims and, you know, what people think of us, what the media shows them. We're trying to, you know, change that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what about Islam do you want to change the public perception of?
Things that were violent, that Islam is oppressive with women, that we hate Jesus, you know, a bunch of misconceptions like that. We're trying to change it. You know, Islam literally translates to peace. It's a religion of peace.
Islam does not translate to peace.
It does.
The word Islam translates to submission to the will of Allah.
No.
It does. It does.
Islam? No.
You know this.
The word Islam translates to peace.
But you know that's what it means.
That's
you know,
what it means.
You know Islam means submission to the will of Allah.
Yes.
You know that, right? So it means submission to the will of Allah, not peace.
But the word Islam translates to peace.
That's salam. Salam.
Yeah, and the root word comes from what?
Salam.
Peace.
Salam. Exactly. That's peace.
Islam
is submission.
It's a religion of peace. That's the point.
Boston Conservative brings us this next clippy about a guy in New York City who was off the hook.
We're done hiding. We're done. We're done being tortured and hurt and judged. This is the correct religion. This is the religion that all of humanity needs to be a part of Islam. And we will not stop until it enters every home. So I want you to repeat after me. I want to hear it in every single district. It should tremble. Brooklyn should hear it. The Bronx should hear it. Queens should hear it. Say it as if the Ummah depends on this, my brothers and sisters. La ilaha illallah. Worship except Allah, the God of Jesus, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, and the God of the last and final prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And the next one from Hell's Renegade is a cowboy responding to that previous video.
I'm gonna need y'all soy boy latte drinking dudes to kind of set this one out. This one's for the fellow combat veterans and the country boys. If you've been paying attention at all to the things that are going on in this world, especially like over in Germany and in the UK right now, where they're even tearing down the Union Jack so that they can fly some kind of Muslim flag over there right now. Look it up. It's going on. They cannot fly their Union Jack. And we got people in this country that are running for office to be mayors of some of our biggest cities that are trying to implement this Sharia law horse. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let that shit fly. Now, if these men want to run Sharia law in their household with their women that they make wear lampshades, there ain't nothing I can really do about what goes on behind closed doors. But let me tell you something right now. You sure ain't going to come over here and treat no white woman that way, no black woman that way, no Mexican, no Asian, no American woman. No, I don't give a... If she's black, white, blue, green, orange, yellow, polka dot, glow in the dark, I don't give a color, what color she is. You ain't going to talk to her like that in front of me. And you know that ain't going to happen. So for all my patriot brothers and sisters out there, let's not let this turn into what's going on in Europe. Stand up for your people. And when I say your people, I'm not talking about race or religion. I'm talking about somebody that's in this country legally as a United States American. It's time we get each other's back. And which side you stand on politically, what other race you are, I don't give toots. If you're an American, a
I'm going to take care of you, and I expect you to do the same for your fellow Americans. The only cure for this Sharia law is to put them in front of the gods they believe in. Tell me I'm wrong, because I sure am not going to let this country turn into a third world country like what's going on in Europe. Not going to let that happen. Y'all don't let it either. Let's get past our racial and religious and political differences and just come together like we did September 12, 2001. Let's try that one. Renegade out.
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at MAGGIE_HEART at outlook.com to get it fixed.
Next up from gov.genius, Trump isn't happy.
Trump is definitely not happy right now. New York City has just elected Zoran Mandani as its new mayor, the first Muslim and youngest in over a century. Meanwhile, Nikki Sherrill won the New Jersey governor race, defeating the Republican candidate backed by Trump. With Democrats sweeping victories in New York, New Jersey, and Virginia, Trump warns that taxes, energy prices, and crime will rise. The people have spoken. Now let's see what happens next.
Next from Libs and Woke and the official Chad Harper, it's Pelosi time.
Did a poor job, who cost the country a lot in damages and in reputation. I thought she was terrible.
The next hat trick from gov.genius talks about China, Japan, and the Ukraine. By the way, did anybody see that fainting thing at the White House this past week from Ozempic? I thought Ozempic was harmless. Or did that guy pass out because he got the jabby jab? Look it up. Check that video out and see what you think. And while we're checking things out, if you are listening on the Trim Radio Network, check out the new show from Peter Kling called Revelations. It's Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Peter's kind enough to plug me all the time on his shows and interviews, so I wanted to return the favor. I think you'll find the show enlightening, especially if you're into biblical prophecy.
Trump just made history by signing a major trade deal with China. Tariffs are being cut, U.S. soybean exports are coming back, and both nations agreed on a rare earth supply pact, crucial for AI and electric vehicles. This marks the biggest step toward peace in U.S.-China trade since Trump's return to power. But experts warn it's just a temporary truce. What do you think about this deal? Breaking news. Japan is making a bold comeback under its new far-right prime minister, Takashi. She met with President Trump and signed huge military and mineral deals, vowing to rebuild Japan's army to rival China. Known for her extreme views, she's shutting down Japan's borders, rejecting immigration. She's gaining massive support. With Trump's help, Japan is ready to rise again on the global stage. Breaking news, Germany has just delivered Patriot air defense systems to Ukraine, a huge move that's bad news for Russia. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky confirmed the delivery after weeks of talks with Germany. These U.S.-made Patriot systems are among the most advanced in the world, capable of shooting down both ballistic and cruise missiles. Experts say this delivery is part of a wider European plan to strengthen Ukraine's air defenses. But here's the catch. Putin had warned Germany not to do this, yet Germany went ahead, openly defying Russia's warning.
Next up from Libs of TikTok, a guy walks up to Representative Tim McBride and calls him out for wearing a dress.
Timothy McBride. Timothy, I'm Joseph Philip Daniel.
Nice to meet you.
Hopefully you don't have child porn on your phone. Better not be a pedophile.
Sir,
God's watching you, man.
Could you please give us some space?
And what you do on Capitol Hill, I'll come back to you. Jesus is watching you, Timothy McBride. You man, how dare you act like a woman out here? Please, how dare you?
It's conspiracy theory time. The first video from Beck Lover NYC talking about a new video coming out you might be interested in.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee?
For those of you that think we're out of our minds, because we keep telling you to pay attention to the sky and what's been going on above our heads for a very long time, but most of you have your faces buried in your phones, please pay attention to this documentary that's coming out.
Wake up!
I put into my mouth. I can control what I feed to my child. I can control how I grow my food and if I want to spray pesticides or not. But I cannot control the experiments over my head.
Within an hour, it spreads out. It creates a blanket.
We're in a war. This is a war against me, you, our children, our grandchildren, and generations to come. This is war raised upon us.
These programs consist of spraying tons of patented aerosol pollutants into our skies without public consent. This includes aluminum, barium, strontium, and more.
It's targeting your food, your water, and it's coming in multiple different ways.
If people want to know if this is a real thing, states have bills to ban it.
I think there are now 32 states that have taken an attempt at this. This has become a huge issue.
If your average citizen knew the truth of what's going on and what they're being exposed to without their consent, they would be outraged and they would take action.
I don't want some creep ramming chemicals down my throat without my permission.
We need to prosecute those people that are doing.
Do we stand in one spot and say enough is enough, and if they don't listen, we take it to the next step?
You've been doing this for a while?
Yep.
Long time. People do care.
Yeah.
We care deep.
I know that.
So we're now getting really involved, and now we're going to bring something legal against your company.
Blue skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see.
You are listening to the Positude Podcast with Maggie Hart. Stay tuned.
That video, by the way, is supposed to be coming out on Amazon Prime, and I threw in some Blue Skies by Willie Nelson just for good measure. The next clippy is from Rich 51, and it's James Casbolt, a super soldier, talking about underground aliens.
The agenda is to, there's a lot of these non-human creatures in underground bases, everybody knows. I've seen all different types of races, and they want to bring them onto the surface. And they want to trigger the age of Set. They want to trigger mass chaos in society. And, I've seen non-humans walking around in daylight. In America and even in England, in different places, blatantly non-human people walking around, and everybody's so politically correct, nobody will say anything. It's like the emperor's new clothes. People think they're deformed and don't want to be rude, don't want to stare, because they got everybody in a trance. You know, I've seen one guy walking along in a leather jacket and sunglasses on, carrying a briefcase with dinosaur hands. As bizarre as that sounds, you know, the big like dinosaur hands with claws on, big nails on the end. And it's not any shapeshifting, this is what he looks like.
And the next one from End the Struggle Together, followed by a little Nessa Barnett.
This is the most important video you're going to watch. If you've ever questioned mainstream media, or somebody's called you a sheep, or you've been called a sheep, then watch this video and it shows you everything the BBC and mainstream media are doing and have been doing. And if it wasn't for social media, they would still be doing it. This was the narrative that they spun about Trump. This almost led to a civil war, and Panorama have exposed them. Share this with anybody that you think is still asleep. I know TikTok aren't going to promote this, so you need to spread this far and wide on every social media platform, because this is what we're up against. Total corruption.
The following clip.
Listen to this.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and I'll be there with you, and we fight. We fight like hell.
But Trump didn't, in fact, say this at all.
No, he didn't.
The BBC spliced together two clips that took place 54 minutes apart. So let's go through it again.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and I'll be there with you.
Now, see there, between Capitol and, that's a cut. Here's what Trump actually said.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol. cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women.
It's different. It wasn't until nearly an hour later that he then said the second part of the BBC's version.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the narrative that was spun that nearly caused a civil war was fabricated by the BBC.
What else do you think they're making up?
If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on.
Profilo Politics shares a clippy that gives us a lot of knowledge about benefits SNAP recipients get. I bet you'll be amazed at this one. I was.
I just learned so much about EBT or SNAP or whatever, and I'm kind of off. Posted in one of my mom groups, tell me all of your EBT tips and tricks to get the most out of it. So honestly, just curious, because I've never had like benefits or anything like that. Read through the comments and I started to get really annoyed because I have worked very, very hard since I was 14 years old and paid into this for people to basically be abusing the system. Now, don't get me wrong. If you are a family or a single mom or single dad and you genuinely can't afford food or to feed your family or whatever and you need these benefits, no judgment at all. However, the people in these comments that are just abusing it was wild. Did you know that if you have EBT that you can get high-speed Wi-Fi from Xfinity for $15 a month? It's pretty tough because I pay over $100 a month for mine. They get half off of Amazon Prime. Why? Because having your things delivered to you within 2 days is essential. It's a survival need. Don't think so. Walmart delivery, Target Circle, Shipt, DoorDash, they all offer discounts for EBT. That to me is wild. So you can go and be lazy and spend your money on having whatever crap delivered to your door. That to me is a luxury. That's a luxury. Most museums, aquariums, and zoos are anywhere between $1 to $3 to enter. Again, these are luxury things. I don't take my kid to the museum every day because she needs to be entertained. These are special treats. We went on her birthday. We'll go for special occasions. Why do you deserve to go for $2 and I have to pay $25? Discounted Xbox Game Pass and PlayStation Plus. Are you fucking kidding me? This is what I'm saying by abusing the system. You're getting your EBT benefits, whatever, SNAP benefits, and you're not using it because you can't afford to feed your family. And those of you who are using it for that reason, great, fine. You need it, that's whatever. But the people that are like, I'm staying on it long term, and I don't want to lose these benefits because of these benefits. This is wild. Why do you get the privilege of getting discounted things when we're working our off and paying for everything out of pocket? You get to go to the zoo for $2 and I got to pay $25, $30. You get discounts. You get free delivery from Walmart and I have to pay for it? I don't think so.
And from Red, White, and Blue News 29, Brooke Rollins shares the SNAP corruption.
Day one of USDA, February 13th, is we sent letters to every governor in America being very clear that no illegal aliens can use SNAP. Zero, zero, zero. We asked every state for the first time in history, and this was in February, to send us their data and let us, with DOGE and a war room, actually start going through this data to better understand how this explosion of SNAP benefits happened under Joe Biden. We increased almost 40% on this program in just a couple of years under the Biden administration. Of course, we know they were trying to buy the election, but that's a conversation for another time. And since we have asked for that data, 29 states have complied. Of course, almost all the red states, a couple of the a couple blue states too, but in that data, and I haven't talked about this yet publicly, in that data we have found, we studied about $100 billion in spend, we have found thousands and thousands of illegal use of the EBT card. We have been moving people off of SNAP. We've got almost 700,000 people, I think, we've moved off just since the president took office. We've arrested about 118 people. So this has been ongoing. But Rachel, to your point, what this conversation has allowed is a national spotlight on a broken and corrupt program. We found one guy in six different states getting a benefit. We found about 5,000 people that are dead who are still getting benefits. Like, it is time to drastically reform this program so that we can make sure that those who are truly needy, truly vulnerable, are getting what they need and the rest of the corruption goes away and we can serve the American taxpayer.
Here's one to make you smile from Big Duke 13.
Now it's November 1st, and you know the people that entered this month mad as hell is the people that ain't getting food stamps this month, and my auntie is one of them. Now she asked me for a loan. I told her I ain't got it right now. She went and asked a couple of other family members. They said they ain't got it. Now, you know, the last person on earth she want to go borrow money from is my uncle. But here it is. She asked me to take over there. I said, Auntie, I don't think it's a good idea. This football Saturday, college football Saturday, and you know he finna trip just to show. We came and knocked on that front door and walked in. He said, if y'all here to borrow money, the answer is no. She said, you know these people done cancel my food stamps. He said, who done cancel your food stamps? Ain't nobody cancel your food. She said, man, the government shut down. Ain't nobody getting no food stamps the month of November. She said, the devil is working, Daryl. He said, that's the problem. The devil working and you ain't.
Oh, snap! Oh, snap, you got me again.
Planet TRRP Returns shares a clip of a girl who thinks that everybody should be wiped off the face of the planet that doesn't collect welfare.
There shouldn't be no Section 8. There shouldn't be no food stamps. It shouldn't be poor people. There shouldn't be no welfare. Us law-abiding taxpayers, we are sick of paying for your food. And what if there was a law right now today and it wiped y'all off the face of the earth? All the rich taxpayers that's got all this money. What if the law came down and said, you know what? This world is only for those on welfare and public aid and public assistance and food stamps and Section 8 and the government and benefits. And we just gonna get rid of the rest of them. How about that?
I mean, that's a special kind of stupid.
Michelle Ebb 98 shares a clippy of a granddaughter who's extremely disrespectful to her grandmother and wants what she can't get on her food stamps because they were cut off for right now.
So I can get these right.
Oh, you got your food stamp, right?
No.
You get what you want, you got your food stamp.
Grandma, I do not got my food stamps.
How come you don't?
Grandma, you know Dr. Trump.
We can't wait. What Donald Trump
Grandma,
do
Dr.
now?
Dr. Trump be cutting all the food stamps off, and he haven't even been giving me none.
But you got the programs like you got some food stamps.
Grandma, you know, I know you just got your check last week.
I know you ain't talking about my check.
Grandma, yes, you can pay for them.
Oh, I can, huh?
I'm so sick of you always being cheap.
Just get the done crab legs. You ain't getting nothing else. Don't ask for nothing else.
And come, before you
what?
That, don't think I'm sharing now.
You ain't sharing no crab legs. You got four boxes of crab legs.
Grandma, but only four clusters come in the box.
And then how much is they cost?
Oh, $45.
Okay, go ahead and get them.
Yes.
And somebody ought to belt you in the mouth. But I won't. I won't. Hell,
I actually have that John Wayne t-shirt. And from Black Rant, a lady shows you how to steal groceries in a white neighborhood.
Okay, so I'm like 10 minutes, 30 minutes maybe from my house. And I'm going to show y'all, if y'all don't get y'all EBT, what to do. Y'all think because for some reason that they watching y'all. They not watching y'all. They don't care. White people is not paying attention to y'all. I'm in a white neighborhood at their AGB, and I'm going to walk out with my groceries. Easy peasy. And I'm on here, but oh well. I got my stuff. So if they're taking y'all EBT, just go to the white neighborhood and get a basket of groceries. Just like I did.
This lady needs Jesus.
Heck, I need Jesus, because, you know, I think I was racially profiling the other day at my grocery store. I swear to God, I noticed this lady doing the exact same thing that the lady in this video was doing. She went outside of her normal area to a white area. I live in an area that's like 84% white. It's a nice area. I love it. But I saw this lady coming from a mile away. First, she did this thing. She asked the attendant of the store where the bathroom was. She's like, oh, is the bathroom in the front or in the back? You know this grocery store. If you are a regular here, you know where the bathroom is. Second, after I left with my group of people and left the grocery store, this lady comes out like 2 minutes later with a bag that she did not have before. And the bag wasn't a grocery bag. It wasn't a plastic bag. It was like a tote bag that she had had and I guess was hidden in her jacket or something like that. But now that there was something in the bag, this is now the strategy of these EBT people. They think that their strategy to win is to go to an area that they're not recognized at. They think that going to a white neighborhood where they won't be confronted is a safe bet for them. I think this is actually a stupid idea, but this is going to be the strategy going forward. And so if you live in a nice, safe area or a place that you thought was safe or a place that you thought was cordial and had nice things, get ready, be prepared. I would recommend not confronting anybody because you don't necessarily want to get into any smoke or problems or anything like that. But just be aware, keep your head on a swivel, and continue to watch how these Democrats move, because they definitely want this kind of chaos to pour out from the inner cities into the suburbs.
Next up, from Grayson McGann, a clip, I want to stay home. And I like the way he thinks.
I don't trust adults who do activities after work. That don't make sense to me. What do you mean that you leave your house, go to work, then leave work, go to the house, and then leave the house again? What's wrong with your house? Is it haunted? Did you see a spider? Because I'm leaving work like I'm late for home. Why don't y'all want to be home? Have you tried a higher thread count? Because the only time I want to leave my house is to get more things that will make me want to stay there longer.
Thanks for sticking around with me a little bit longer this week, folks. I got a couple more clips left. The next one from The Real Slim Sherry. It's Gen X time.
You guys, apparently there are some young people out there that think I'm too old for social media because my generation isn't tough enough for this place. Gen X not tough enough? Y'all do realize we were raised on the devil's own playground equipment, right? Our slides were not plastic, they were not safe. They were industrial grade flesh melters made of pure molten steel that we enjoyed at noon in July wearing shorts. Like, have you ever hot peeled the skin off your thigh on a sun-baked slide with a one-way ticket to hell while your soul leaves your body through your kneecaps? No? Then shut your mouth. There were no sides, no guardrails, no rubber mulch, just you, gravity, and maybe Jesus if he was free. And when you hit the bottom, which you would, it was gravel, concrete, or broken glass on a really good day. Your mom didn't ask you if you were okay. She told you you were fine while she poured rubbing alcohol in your open wound like she was trying to baptize the pain out of you. If you weren't bleeding or barfing, you went to school. Sprained ankle, you walk it off. Broken spirit, go to your room. Hurt feelings? Stop that crying or I will give you something to cry about. Our toys were lawn darts, which were actual metal spears that we just threw into the sky for fun. Meet me at the playground after school was not an invitation to play. You didn't get bullied in the comments. We got bullied in your face. We handled our beef in person with fists, fury, and a friend watching your backpack. The games we played were Punch Buggy, Bloody Knuckles, Red Rover, Dodgeball, Mercy. Every single one of them designed to identify the weak. BB guns, pellet guns, cap guns, firecrackers, nunchucks, butterfly knives, all just another Tuesday in the toy box. No GPS, no phones, no snacks, no parental supervision. We were feral, unmedicated, sunburned, dehydrated, and somehow still alive. But sure, tell me again how we're too soft for the internet. Is it because we don't cry over a thumbs up emoji and call it cyberbullying? You guys survived the comment section and we survived everything else.
The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. Well, that's another one in the bucket, folks. Thanks all for listening. I hope you had as much fun as I did. Stay safe, take care of each other, and we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.